to the Mars Zone FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to Think Different.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction. Righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. What's going on? Hey, just a quick update, because I haven't talked about it for a while, and I was like, hey, guess what's going to happen, the Bards FM base camp? It is still coming. We've had to make some design changes, and I brought on another tech guy, an IT type, back-end designer, and we're doing that with some pretty sweeping redesigns to make it more user-friendly. I was able to bring on somebody who's got some unbelievable expertise, and I just had a call with him later today. It's really exciting, so I'm very comfortable with where we're going. We were going down a particular route that was going to be interesting, and at the same time, I was becoming increasingly concerned about the amount of time it was going to take people to learn some of these open source systems. And the guy I spoke with today has some really good solutions that'll make it much more user-friendly. So that is happening. It's going to slow it down just a little bit, but it's going to have a better product when it rolls out, and I'm much more concerned with that in the end to get it right than to stumble and make it like everybody's like, what the heck did you do? We don't want that. So that is coming, and with that comes a lot of cool things. A lot of things are happening, and I'm excited about where that's going and how that's going to grow. So I think we'll beat President Trump, though, to the finish line on this one. He can have social media. We'll build our base camp, and then we'll wave across the way and go, hey, President Trump, come over and visit us. We'll come over and visit you, that sort of thing. So it'll be fun. And we'll be sitting there like roasting marshmallows while they're trying to get everybody on their site. And we'll be like, okay, we'll go over and visit you, but we're going to come back here and still roast our marshmallows and have our bacon caramel popcorn and hang out with cool B-dads. That's cool stuff like that. And then we'll go over there and it'll be like a storm of everybody talking about all the disasters. And we'll come back and we'll chill a little bit. And, you know, that's kind of how it's going to be. So that's good. Not trying to be social media, trying to create a base camp home for everybody where we can develop that, continue to develop our verticals of knowledge and faith. In particular, the focus is on county by county. So that's critical. And that county by county focus is going to be the way forward for this country. More and more people are talking about it, which is interesting. And I've seen I think Sasha Stone is doing a tour on county by county. The one thing I can say I'm very pleased with is there's a lot of emphasis on it, but I don't see a lot of like direct action. How are we going to fix it other than you can take back your counties? It's good to get the consciousness, but we've got to put the feet on the ground and we've got to put some traction under our plans. And that's what we're really working on now and developing out some pretty bold and aggressive plans for the months ahead, so I'm pretty excited. So that's going to be kind of the center point of everything at the Bards Base Camp, along with the cool merch store and some other stuff like that. So it is coming, and it's going to be exciting when it comes, and I appreciate your patience, appreciate your support, as always, and the continuing growth of BDAD. It's very humbling, all the people that are part of this and continue to grow, so thank you very much. It's just pretty awesome. All right, so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Think Different. And it's going to be a way of looking at some of the stuff going ahead. And we're going to have to start thinking about our lives a little bit differently. There's a lot of changes coming down the pipe. And there's a lot of shifts in what we're going to have to be accountable for if we really want to break free from this cabal. They're not going away. And I think that's the one big myth that the Q platform perpetuated, was that somehow there was going to be a few arrests and everything was going to be happy and hunky-dory once again. That is not the way this will end up working. It will be some traumatic and dramatic shifts. There's no question. But these cabal are going to be around for a while. And what they have left really is the ability to influence and damage relationships and people thanks to their injection. So we have to remain vigilant, and it's going to be particularly important because there'll become points ahead where things will start to turn. And typically what people do is when they start to turn for the better, everybody goes back and does the same old thing all over again. And if we are going to go back and do that same old thing all over again, we've wasted our time. So before we get going too much farther, let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've come together to reflect this evening on the challenges ahead for us to reset this world on the foundations of In God We Trust and returning the power to the people. And in so doing, the sorts of things that we need to reflect on as our responsibilities to live in a sovereign world as you intended. Ask that you'll guide us, direct us, open our hearts and our minds to the many possibilities and the unlimited potential that you put within each of us. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. We live in a current world that's structured around power and control. And underneath power and control, or with power and control, are the concepts of that are just pervasive, which is greed, corruption, selfishness. And ultimately, it waters down to those that are underneath those layers end up being enslaved to some form of in debt servitude or in just struggling and in perpetual conflict. I mean, the indicators are everywhere of how failed the system is. And it's not failed for the elite. It's failed for us. And that's by design. Unbelievable divorce rates, outrageous levels of abortion, depression, suicides, drug addictions, alcohol addictions. They're breaking down people to a degree that people are not able to cope. And instead of turning to God, they turn to the wrong things. And in a world where we stripped God away and it seems like it's a far away distance, it's like this part-time or a strange cult the way they've presented it, because we're living in a cult and the cult is making God seem like a cult. It's pretty phenomenal. Sadly, people's lack of understanding of what the true message of God is and feeling that, especially with a lot of the way our churches have become so corrupted in their message of God, we are losing a lot of our people to a dark side because they just don't know where to turn. Things are not easy in life, but God doesn't want us as well to be depressed, to live in misery, to be addicted. That's not God's way. We have to work hard in life, but God wants to do that in a world based on God, where we're living with God and God's giving to us. It's a world of unlimited potential. But it is a complete paradigm shift from the way that we are to the way that we could be living and hopefully will be living. Current paradigm shift is based around a work schedule and a clock. You have so many things you have to do in a day. We shuttle kids off to their brainwashing clinics at schools. We take them out of the homes. We get them engaged in various activities so we don't have to deal with them during the day. We buy our food at supermarkets with people that are outsourcing our food supply. We do various forms of work for somebody else. And in the meantime, we try to squeeze in a little bit of God and religion somewhere in there. Religion heavily, because religion is the institution. It's not God. And so we go to the churches, and maybe we can make Wednesday night. Maybe we'll make Sunday. Go through kind of that recycle piece where we get forgiven and all that good stuff, kicked out the door. Chill out on Sunday. Don't do a whole lot necessarily. Maybe hang out with friends and family. Have a dinner. Rinse, wash, repeat come Monday. And this is a cycle that we've accepted. And it's a cycle ultimately of us burying ourselves in this weight of this culture that leaves people hopeless, frustrated, anger, or angry. And in the end, there's some outcome of that is violence. Relationships break down. People don't really care for each other. They care for themselves more than each other. And we see a society that's just constantly just hanging on by a thread. There's an empty sense within everybody. Not everybody, but within a large percentage of the population. And it's fulfilled then, that emptiness is fulfilled by Amazon Prime, instant gratification, grab it, mail it, buy it, mail it, you know, pick it up. Yay, I've got something that lasts you maybe it lasts you for a few weeks. Maybe that joy lasts for a week or a few days. Maybe it's a few hours. And then you have to rinse and wash and do it again because you've got to keep this cycle of fulfillment of material things because something has to keep you up. Some people turn to the weight room or the gym and they kind of they do those cycles to try to keep themselves up. And it's not that they aren't doing things for health, but a lot of it too is emotional. Bodybuilders are kind of the extreme. I've been around that culture. That is a crazy culture. It is narcissist beyond measure. You cannot believe. I've never seen so many people literally. And I know that they're going to argue, anybody that's bodybuilding is going to tell me I'm wrong. I'm pretty solid with what I'm going to say here. I've never seen so many people spend so much time trying to look at what they look like in a mirror. It's kind of a weird deal. So the deal is that at the center of all things, we have to begin with spiritual health. And spiritual health means that we have to do a complete paradigm shift in how we look at the world. God is not a part-time issue. God is a full-time issue. And it's everything that we do isn't because we're tied to God. It's because we're living at God's will. And when we do that and we let God guide us and we're working through God, it's a partnership and a beautiful one. That's what he wants for us. And in return, what he's opening up is our unlimited possibilities. And just by doing that and accepting that, it's not that it's easy, but it's fulfilling. And it's spiritually fulfilling in a way that nothing else can be. We are witnessing the tearing down of the world. We are witnessing the collapse of the cabal. And it's a painful thing to be in this such a proximity to something that is so deeply rooted in. It's kind of like, you know, in the sense of you could burn out all the cancer in your body, you're going to feel some real pain, even though your body will completely recover. It's going to hurt getting rid of it. And this is a lot of what we're seeing. We're watching recent, like, new mask policies going into a place to try to mandate masks or choke out the kids. This is pure dark evil because they're trying to push people into getting this inoculation. And part of the reason for that is that they have nothing left except to damage people and to leverage a group of people that they can control by fear and coercion. That won't endure, but that's the way they think. But we're also faced with us having to make some decisive decisions, not just to sit on the side and not just pray, because prayer is essential, but it isn't. Prayer needs traction. And our relationship with God has to be stronger than ever. And we have to commit and trust in God, and we have to search out those very powerful connections, gifts, and talents that he gives us so that we can start bringing those into the world, because this is the opportune time. As the empire falls, there is the void which it creates, but not all things have fallen yet. And that means in a certain sense, we have to go back to go forward. And by what I mean by that is we have to start taking some very certain accountabilities to things in our lives. Tonight, I'm not going to focus on all of them. I'll get on a few of them, but I'm going to really zero in on a couple of them that are pretty powerful. And one of those very important issues is our food. And our food is right now is going to be an item of, it's going to be a weapon of war. We will eventually get through this, but the only way to really get through this is we have to start taking responsibility and control of our food supply. Bill Gates has been buying up an enormous amount of farmland. Matter of fact, right now he owns 242,000 acres of farmland that's distributed over Washington, Idaho, California, Arizona, Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, and North Carolina. That's a few states. And from all things it is sounding like, is what he's trying to do is create these closed sort of ecosystem economies where he's going to create these design cities where everybody will live in a smart city and they will be digitally chipped, monitored, tracked. But with that, they'll have all these additional rewards. They can have easy pay. And basically, he's going to try to survive, create this alternate world. They've even had approval in Nevada now to create their own country. And the other thing is he's going to try to seize control of the food supply, which he's essentially doing, and doing that by controlling the genetics of what goes into the ground. Now, right now, most of the seeds are controlled by 10 companies. When I say seeds, these are design seeds. So anything that's been genetically modified or has been propagated to develop a different strain. Top on the list is Monsanto with 23% of the market. DuPont is second with 15% of the market. Syngenta is a Swiss company. They have 9% of the market. Group Limongrain, which is French, 9% of the market. Or 6%, I'm sorry, 6% of the market. Land O'Lakes owns 4% of the market. KWS, Germany, 3% of the market. Bayer Corporation Science in Germany, 2% of the market. Sakata, Japan, 2% of the market. DLF, Trifolium, which is a Denmark company, around 2% of the market. Takai, Japan, 2% of the market. So the top 10 control 67% of the proprietary seed markets. And three of those top 10 are in the United States. This is a real issue because as they control the seeds, if you know how this works, farmers have to buy seeds from them. It's a whole debt cycle too. In order to get a loan from a bank, they have to buy, or a loan from a farmer type loan, they're going to have to agree to buy certain types of seeds and grow certain types of crops. This is all this restrictions on what they grow. And as you know right now, if you've been paying attention, they are dumping all sorts of foods. You know, milk is being poured out. Vegetables are being destroyed. The entire supply chain system is breaking down across the nation. So in the short term, you can expect some food shortages, and they're going to use this, if they can do it, to force people into an inoculation. One of the things that they want to do, obviously, is to choke off your access to food by getting stores to comply with this idea that you can't buy unless you're masked and show your vax ID card. That's their ultimate end game. To what degree they succeed in this, we'll see in the coming months and years. But ultimately, it's going to come down to us making some hard choices. So as we have built into a world where we're very comfortable of outsourcing everything, outsourcing our kids, outsourcing our jobs, outsourcing our food, outsourcing literally everything, it's time now to make some hard decisions on how you want to live and where you want to go. Gardening is not just a hobby, it's a fundamental aspect of life. And taking accountability and responsibility for your food in one way or another isn't an option, it's a necessity of life. When you give away authority on something that's that critical in your life, it is going to bite you, it is going to come back and get you. And so it is a time, we're in a time right now when we have to revive, in my opinion, and I feel very strongly about this, that the way ahead for the United States is going to be built on patriots reviving the Victory Garden, what I call Patriot Gardens, as a starting point to reclaim control of the food supply. But it isn't just Patriot Gardens. This is about expanding our properties to start being food production spaces. And in doing that, to try to, and being prepared to share food with neighbors. Now, in the longer term, that also means that we have to start figuring out ways. And I mean, I'm working on designs like this right now, and here's exactly what you do right now, but there are some, start thinking about ways in which you can start building local exchanges, either to give away, trade food, or even buy food from one another or local produce. The important thing is to start really emphasizing on buying local and breaking that cycle of that corporate control. There's a number of grocery stores. One of the chains is owned, it's a family-owned chain in the southern part of Oregon. They're good size. They compete directly with some of the bigger box stores. The problem is that they've bought into, for whatever reason, and part of it's by OSHA threats, and I get that, but they have agreed to comply with the state mandates of masks, and they've kind of gone overboard. Now they've gone to, they're one of the places in town that mandates that, you know, you can come in without a mask, but you will not get service. Unfortunately, a lot of people are agreeing to comply with that nonsense, and you can't change that. There is an acceptance of this insanity by a percentage of the population that continues to stun me, because they are literally at a place where if you threaten them with anything, they just bow down. They're weak. And that level of weakness has become a standard, really, in the way that we live in this country anymore. The true patriot being able to stand up and defy and taking action to lead has become an increasingly rare breed. The convenience of life, the willing to give in to tyranny has become a standard time, because it's easier and to be obedient than it is to be free. God did not intend for us to be obedient slaves. Moses did not remove or lead Israelites out of Egypt for all of humanity to return. And yet we're kind of in this odd exodus right now, where a part of us is staying free and choosing to go more so, and a whole bunch of people, rather than leaving the metaphorical Egypt, are walking into Egypt going, please enslave me, because I want to go back to the way things were. Huge trap. As we start to think about this way forward, it's when we talk about it in terms of faith and lining up with God, it's not a hard step to make. But when we have to start taking accountability for the parts of our lives that are important, and we have to start bringing that accountability back in our lives, that's when things get a little more challenging, and it's going to demand a lot of us. So it's this time now to think different. The gardening piece is critical, as is taking care of the children and getting them out of public schools. Not everybody can homeschool their kids. But there are so many resources in our community that we can access if we organize correctly. Building cooperatives between families is a huge one. Another totally underutilized resource, which is super critical to do, is to use the elderly, the senior citizens. Interesting statistic was shared with me today on what the prime age was for somebody to give back and be a knowledge resource for the community. And most of the time we think of that number as around 45 to 50. It's actually 70 years old. And the beauty of doing a cycle like that is that as we start to build homeschooling processes, cooperatives, or doing it ourselves, and then begin to reach out to the seniors, we are now instilling a respect for our elderly into our youth, something that's very critical. There's two ends in our society that are completely bankrupt right now. One is the value of life at birth, and the other is value of life as we get older. we've become this outsourced everything society, and it's starting to get, even when I even look around, it really starts to get nauseating. The callous and cavalier attitude towards aborting a child is beyond disgusting. And it's the fact that so many in this culture have left God and just see life as like, I don't know. I guess it's like something you get at the Salvation Army and you pick it up off the shelf. You don't like it, you throw it away. I mean, the idea that sex has become such an act of just doing, and the consequences of it are gone. There's no accountability for that act. It's become just kind of a dirty thing. It's a little more than sex itself in the way that this culture now approaches it, for the most part, is a little more than just a living out a porn scenario. And when it happens, someone gets pregnant, well, if it's not appropriate, then it's like, oh, well, whatever. Let's just dump it and start over. So it's pretty disgusting. I mean, this is the act of life. And there's not another animal in the world that does that. We're the only creature on the face of the earth that considers its newborns as something to vacuum out and dump. And then, worse yet, traffic those body parts for money. It's a horror show on a level that I think if people were really forced to face it, like literally have to sit there and witness the whole thing, I think most people would leave nauseated and probably changed. But the problem is that, like all things we do here, we step it behind the closed doors and we keep it out of view, and we're allowed then to build this narrative that it's okay. Just kind of like, you know, it's okay, you can swing in the drive-thru and get your hamburger. Don't worry about how it's handled, who makes it, what's on it. Just quick and eat it and get out of the way. And we treat life like that too. And that goes the same when we get to our elderly, our parents, the ones that gave us life. And so we find all these excuses of why we can't take care of them. Well, my house is too small. I don't have the space. Mom's difficult. Dad and I never got along well. I'm making this stuff up because I get along beautifully with my parents. I love them to death. I'm just making this example. I want to be very clear. Next thing I know, I'll be having somebody go, did you hear Bars doesn't get along with his parents? Like, no, I love my parents dearly. They're beautiful people. And that's part of my commitment in life, is to make sure that they never go into a home. That is something that as a life change that we have to make. And there's a lot of reasons that we have to make that. Not only do we have to take care of our children to get them nurtured and raised in an environment where they can go into this world with critical thinking and open minds and a love of God, they're never going to get that in any school. And I think this is the part when I'm going to come back to the elderly, but when I start with the children, I'm stunned when parents can actually go through this process with me and nod their head and go, yeah, that's right. And then do it anyway. And literally like, yeah, well, I just don't have time. So I'm going to go ahead and put my kid in public school. I don't really like it. I don't really like what they do, but I'll try to offset that a little bit with some education at home. So you're like, huh? So how are you going to deprogram 8 hours of their day with 15 or 20 minutes at night with a story, bedtime story? I mean, that literally, this doesn't make any logical sense. And a lot of it centers around the point of where we're putting our priorities. There has to be a change in the way we think different. You have to start thinking about your lives different and differently. We have an accountability to the way we raise children, not just a responsibility, but in this world where we're moving into, where we're going to be walking, where not only we are, should be, must be walking with God. The child, outsourcing your child's education isn't like, oh, that's okay. I see you didn't do well there, Mr. Jones, as God speaks to them. That's okay. We'll let that one go. The fact that you ruined your kid's life after I gave you this spirit and soul to nurture, I don't think that's going to end well. And I wish that we could get back to that place. And this is one thing I really pray to, is that people would have a bit of fear for God. There isn't enough fear for God. And fear isn't to make you cower. Fear is the point of making you humbled and accountable and energized to take what God gives and do something amazing with it. If we're given a salary at work, it's not just about how fast you can spend it. It's there should be a process always of here's what I need, here's what I'm going to do, and here's some excess that I'm going to give. That's about living with the respect of what God gives you in a simple way. When we take our child and we're just like, I'm just going to kick you out of the house, can't wait to get him to school, I get some free time at the house. That's not the role of parenting. And it's not easy. I don't speak about homeschooling like it's like, oh yeah, it's a good idea. I've done it 2 years. Took 2 years off my life away from my career to do that. And it was worth every second that I did it. It wasn't easy. It makes a difference in your child's foundations and how they can approach the world and re-embracing those fundamental things where they can go into the world solid with God, solid with Christ in their heart, and knowledge that they have to be able to move forward. The people that I know that do this, I have just such admiration for because I know it's hard, but they're making the right choice. So then we have to now jump to the other end of the spectrum as we're dealing with that. And then we're looking up here going, oh, parents, yeah, they're getting old. Yeah, we're going to get mom or dad stuck and they're going to go into a retirement home. And then we'll go over and visit them once or twice. What has happened to us? Seriously. What has happened to us? That we shuck off our parents like the husks of corn. That we discard them and throw them away. That we find our reasons and excuses to move everywhere across the globe. Look, I've traveled all over the globe. I know what it's like to be away from all the family a long time. But there has to come a point when we have to reconcile with the lifestyles we have and the responsibilities that we have. Our children are raised by us, and if you think about it, would you want your child to take care of you? I would hope. And that's, in turn, it's the cycle of life where we have to put emphasis on taking care of our parents. And that's the example we have to embed into our children. So it is a full cycle. We sit in the middle. And it's an amazing place to sit because we get to see both ends. We're like, okay, child's coming up, parents are going out. I don't mean that negatively. Just mean it's you're in both ends of the spectrum. So when you're doing that, it's an opportunity to truly think different. To change a life, your child's life, by giving them in a way that's going to shape them for the future and at the same time instilling values with the grandparents of what that means to be a child in this world. Too many children are growing up with this selfish idea that once they get into their teens or their 20s, it's like, yeah, well, had that good time with grandma and grandpa when they were young, but now we're checking out. We're going to go do our own thing. Maybe one of these days we'll see grandma and grandpa maybe once. What's happened? What's happened that the knowledge and wealth that our parents have in the world is now no longer valued and we just cast them aside? See, these are principal issues and pillars in our society that as much as we want change, if we don't make these changes, we can have all the changes we want in government, all the changes that we want in the arrests and the removal of crime, and we will be right back there in 10 years or less if we can't get grasp of two critical aspects. Three, actually, because I mentioned all three. One being our children, two being the responsibility and accountability into taking control of our food and part of our life, and three, our parents, and not outsourcing all of them. When we start to reclaim those domains, those responsibilities, we start to make a strategic and systemic shift in our society in an amazing way. It's a value shift. Tomorrow you could get news that, hey, guess what? The entire economic system has been reset. And with this, guess what else we've done? We're going to give everybody a big bonus huge chunk of money to compensate you for all the nasty taxes that have been taken out and all the debt that they tried to put on your back. And here you go. Here's a big chunk of money. And everybody's going to be like, woohoo, guess what? I'm making this up. But it's my point. So suddenly everybody gets a check, say, this is going to be the real V recovery. Everybody gets a check of $1 million, we'll just say. You can already hear it like, oh, this would be great. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do to change your life to make that value of what you're given, not just for the moment, not just to buy your new car, not just to pay off your debt, but to do something that is going to be lasting and enduring, that will make a difference not only in your life, but your children's life and your parents if they're still alive? I had a friend of mine, a very good friend. He was a mentor to me in business for a while. Sergeant Major, retired from Delta. That's not airlines, that's special operations. Also known as CAG. Just an amazing guy. And we were talking the other night, and I was telling him how we were doing this ice cream with my dad every Sunday. And he said, Scott, let me tell you something. He said, my dad passed away in 1989. He says, I still talk to him today. He said, I would take anything to have 5 more minutes with him. We have to value life. We have to get back to valuing what life is. And not just consuming for ourselves. If we're truly going to walk with God, if we're truly making this shift in our world to walk with God, to put God in our heart and to live through God and let God guide us, then we have to start from the fundamentals. We have to start creating the accountability in our lives to have some say into what goes into our bodies, to build the experiences for our children so that they grow up better than we did, and to give back to our parents that gave so much. Man, I've met some people recently that are stunning. You know, people that have had really rough childhoods, that made hard decisions when they got older to leave their jobs and come back to their families, even though they had a brutal childhood and raising, and then take care of their parents until the end, and in the process, not only heal, but bring everybody closer to Christ. That's the sort of power that we have to bring to this fight. We're not going to fight this fight and win it worrying about whether Sniffer Joe is going to sign another executive action and cause more chaos at the border. There has to be a measure of trust that something in this system is going to work, even though most of it's broken. But even if it remains broken, the only feeder that we're going to be able to give it to improve it is what we give into this world. The children of this world need to see the examples of people that truly walk in that place of God, not just talk it, not just go into the pew on Sunday and sit there like a marshmallow, not just walk around going, hey, I'm a Christian. Good. Glad to hear it. Good on you. Have a nice day. Really, when someone tells me that, I'm like, okay, good. Good on you. Happy for you. I want to see it. I don't need to be told it. And when you experience it and you're walking with Christ and you're there, you don't have to ask. You know. So let us be that. If we're truly the patriots that we're trying to reset this nation, and if we can look around and say, man, I'm doing everything I can. I'm spending time with my parents. I'm trying to homeschool as much as I can my child. I'm trying to give them that foundation. Man, that's incredible. The ones I love are like, oh yeah, we got him. I'm going to church, but mom's over at the home. I took her at the home. I'm not going to bother seeing her this week. You know, it's like, what? Man, value what we have. If you have a broken relationship with your parents, it's time to heal it. If you're having trouble with your kids, it's time to heal it. And if things are in torment with your spouse, it's time to seek help and heal it. Things are not disposable. And I've had enough failure in my relationships to speak candidly to that point. It's not disposable. Value what we have. Let us bring God into our lives and truly everything it means. And let us heal our families. Let's heal ourselves. And let's honor God in the process. And in doing so, let's be the greatest patriots this world has ever seen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we sit before you with open heart to know that we have made these mistakes, to know that we've had our trepidations to walk away from you and to walk away from the value of life. Let us not walk that way anymore. We put ourselves humbly before our King Christ, and we ask for the prayers and the healing to give us the strength and the wholeness to unite our families, to bring us together in our home, to truly find that love that will come to us and bring us all together, to strengthen our hearts, to strengthen our resolve to live with you and walk with you, and to make each of our homes a sanctuary for your love that empowers us, that guides us, and allows us to be those shining examples of us as a disciple, as our families, as disciples of you and your word. Let us grow your kingdom. Let us be there. And when you say, who shall I send? Let us all as a family say, send us, send me. And we say these things humbly before our King, Jesus Christ, and in Christ's name. Amen. This is our time to redefine what it is to be a patriot, what it is to win a war through love, what it is to win a war walking with God. It's up to us. Christ did his work and has given us dominion here to finish the task. And I have no doubt at some point he's coming back, but I'm going to tell you right now, we have a lot of work to do. Let's grow our gardens. Let's heal our families. And let's make God shine. Have a blessed night. Keep your eyes up. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. These fights are harder than each day as we dig deeper into what our responsibility and accountability is. Keep prayers up. Pray for the strength to heal. Pray for the strength to communicate and to communicate with love. Pray for this to the words that you need to build those bridges. God will never forsake you. He will never walk away from you. He will never leave you hanging. All you have to do is trust and turn to him. And in the end, working with him especially, the victory is glorious because he always wins. I'll see you tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Thank you for being here. As always, I'm humbled. I'll see you tonight. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.